Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
They're lost, they're confused, they're blinded, the Bible says, and you be the one to go out and give them the good news.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, we look at the last of the 12 marks of a difference maker as Pastor concludes our series by looking at the final two verses in the book of James, as he shows us how difference makers demonstrate prayerfulness in true faith.
James chapter 5 right here. I got one sentence. This all is condensed in the end of the book of James, okay? And there were 12 marks of the difference maker. I'm going to give you the last one. Number 12, this is the last sentence, James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. If you have a Bible, look at it, because this is what James says. It's a fitting conclusion to his whole book. He's like the coach. James is the guy that grew up with Jesus in the same house, okay? Jesus was the oldest. He had at least six brothers and sisters. He had another brother named Jude. Jude wrote a book. James wrote a book. This is what James said. You see that in verse 22? He said it this way, "And of some have compassion, make a difference." They're doubting, and you have compassion. Go to them. You show your compassion. You reach out in the name of Christ. Show them the gospel. Well, his brother, James, writes this book. He's the guy leading the whole church in Jerusalem, and he compacts all of this book, all of these 12 marks of a difference maker, and he's motivating them. He's like a coach. He's not going all the details like Romans and giving all the doctrine. He's just saying, this is a mark of a person that's making a difference in their world. And he sums all of it together by summarizing it this statement. Really, what he's saying is, you be prayerful with true faith. If you're a difference maker, you are going to be prayerful with true faith. And you're going to go after and explain that to people. And I say this because there's lots of illustrations of it, and I wish I had time to go through that, but I don't. But let me put it into the simplest statement that the final verses provide three action points. Can I say it that way? Or talking points, very simply, to enable Christians to identify and help those in the midst of a lack of genuine saving faith. This is how he says it, this verse 19 and 20, one sentence. He says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Brethren, if a man do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins." These are the three talking points, okay? Number one, what he's referring to, first of all, is the threat. He says, here's a threat here. Here's a danger. And the danger is, if any one of you err from the truth. He says, here's a danger. Here's a threat. You have to be aware. And James' primary objective in writing this whole epistle, he condenses it by saying, in confronting those in the assembly of believers who possess a false, dead faith. He's already went through all of these things and saying, listen, if you have, say you have faith and there's no works, it's dead. And so he's summarizing again by saying, is it possible for somebody, brethren, he's talking to Christians here, if you're erring from the truth, and there's a danger that you start, and the term erring from the truth means you start drifting away. You start moving away from that. That's the general idea. The term erring, the term is planethi, or where we get the idea planet. And it's the whole idea of like a wandering star. When you see a shooting star in the sky, it's not a planet that's fixed, but there are stars that are moving. There's a randomness. It's moving away from its fixed position. And what he's saying is there are people that, just like in the earlier passage, that are sick, that they have a tendency to end up moving away and missing the path and are hopelessly lost. And they're wandering ones that need to be brought back to God. All of us know somebody in this bracket. There's a threat that people know what's right, they hear what's right, and slowly over a period of time, it's not normally some big jump, but it's slowly a way in which people start drifting away, straying away, like a little toddling infant that starts drifting away from mom in a busy store, and next you know he looks up and he can't find mom and he's frantic. And he's saying, listen, there's a threat here that you easily can move away from what you know to be truth and find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. He says that's a threat, and he doesn't want people to be there. They're ignorant, they're young, they're wandering, they're straying, and he says this is a threat. That's the first action point. Let me give you a second point, which very simply is not just the threat, but let's talk about the heroes. And I term it that because really what he's saying is, in this sentence, he uses the idea of one or him or he. Notice when he says it, all these personal pronouns, if any one of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a person that the task of all believers. He's not saying about now talking to pastors. This letter is not given to the leadership of the church. He's writing it to the scattered people abroad. Do you remember that? And the idea of a scattered, dispersed people, he's saying, you people are the ones that need to go after and be a hero and go after that one that's wandering away. You be the one that becomes the deliverer. You're the one that he says, and the basic meaning of the verse is that the saints should seek to bring wandering brethren back to the Lord. The idea of convert, when he says, well, he uses the term twice, look at it. You err from the truth and you convert him. He which converts the sinner. What is he talking about? The term convert simply means to turn back. It's easy for a saint to be seduced or to err from the truth. One author said it this way, but we may apply these verses to the lost as well. We see the return of Christ approaching. He says that in verse 7 and 8. How much we need to dedicate ourselves to give the gospel to people that don't understand. They're lost. They're confused. They're blinded, the Bible says. And you be the one to go out and give them the good news. They're wandering out there. You know what they don't need? They don't need our judgment. You know what they do need? They do need that loving affection. I care about you. I want to help you. And James masterfully takes all these characteristics and he lumps them into his very last statement, one last part of the whole letter. And he says, listen, you be the hero. You be the one to go after that person that you see wandering away. What they don't need is for people to go, who cares? That serves them right. You know what James is saying? You know what? Why don't you get up and you go get them? And you show them the love of Christ by saying, you know what? This is what you need. What happened? Who hurt you? What are you doing that's causing so much guilt that you feel like you can't come back? You go after them. And I'm going to tell you the most powerful witness to what James is saying here. He's not talking about a pastor going to do this. He's talking about you going to other people. I don't know how many times I could tell you that the pastor shows up. And either big defenses go up or all of a sudden they get really good. You know what I mean? Like they start telling me all the good things. I'm like, whoa, it's okay. You know, you don't need to. But I'm going to tell you what's the most effective witness to people is somebody just like you. And I can tell you this because my wife and I, previous to being 43, 44 years old, I never pastored. And many, many times we had opportunities to come right alongside of people because I wasn't a pastor. I'm just like Joe Doe. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? People appreciate that. Hey, a simple invitation. This is what makes the difference. You be a hero to somebody. And third point, and I'll close with this. Notice what he says in verse 20. Yeah, I talk about the threat, the heroes, and then he talks about the reward. Here's this huge delight. He says, you're going to save a soul from death. You know the term of that, the term save, very translates the simple term, the most common New Testament word for salvation. Now, you're not going to save them because you can't save anybody. Christ does the saving. This has nothing to do with the church. These were people, and I personally think there's the multiple application, he was talking to the people that erring from the truth. I think that it was people that genuinely knew the truth and were wandering away. And the people there in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, were going after them, saying, hey, man, you're going in the wrong direction. You're making wrong choices. You need to come back. This is what's right, in a loving, caring way. And in addition to that, it was also just the pure evangelism of going after people to say, hey, I got some good news here. Let me give this to you. This is what you're looking for. He wasn't talking about a religion. He was talking about a relationship, in this case, with James' half-brother, Jesus. He lived with him. He knew him. He didn't believe a lick of what this guy, his brother, was saying. I say that reverently. Till he went to the cross, he knew this guy was perfect. And he died. And 3 days later, the Bible says he rose from the grave and he showed himself and personally showed himself to James and his brothers. And that's when James got saved. That's when Jude got saved. And it wasn't until after the resurrection they realized, you know what? This is true. This is what he's talking about. The reward is they're saved. Isn't that what you want? This is like why we're on this earth. And on top of the fact, notice what he says, you'll hide a multitude of sins. Not the person, the hero, but the sins of that person that needed to be converted. And the term is, the middle voice requires this. It's an ongoing, Proverbs 10:12. Charity covers the sins of others before men. And James, to ones affecting by the conversion of another, that this other sins was covered before God. This is what you call 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Going to people and saying, man, this is what the antithesis that evangelism is to the self-righteous judging. It does something practical about sin. I'm coming, I'm giving you, this is what you need. And that's what salvation is. It's very simply saying, I realize I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this earth to die a sinner's death. Somebody had to pay for the guilt and shame. For a righteous judge to be satisfied, his own son he gave. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. Because James is saying, listen, what I believe about Jesus determines my destination for heaven. What I do on this earth has nothing to do with the destination. It has everything to do with compensation. God's going to reward us for what we do. But I don't work for salvation. I work because of salvation. And you've heard me say many, many times, it is not having to do about where you go to church, but where you go when you die. This is the question. The fact is, where you go to church will be a huge determinant about what you believe about where you go when you die. And this is why James sums it all together by saying, listen, there's a great reward. You can refresh others by going to them. And I want to encourage you with this. This was the final note that James gave.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.